Yeah, baby. What's up?
Morning.
I got scratchy thing going on this morning. I don't. When you're in radio,
yes.
I always remember when I had like my voice was really really good, like it was really deep and full.
Yeah.
I always felt like I had great shows, even when my content sucked.
Yes.
And then other times my voice would not be that good, and I'd have really good shows, but I always thought it sounded bad because my voice. We always think as radio people, if our voice sounds good,
then the show
we sound good, and it's just not true. So I'm going to try to fight through today. I feel okay. I think it's just the weather and stuff, but I'm a little...
You know what you sound like?
I sound like Demi Moore.
No, I'm going to date it, but, like, God, this just don't laugh at me too much, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when Neil Diamond first came out,
yeah.
He was a young kid, right?
Yeah.
And you listen to his early stuff. I know. But then when he got raspy,
mm-hmm.
He sounded so much better.
Yeah.
So that's how you sort of got that Neil Diamond thing.
Sam Rush and Al Cooper checking this morning. Okay. Coos Valley Auto Sale.
I'm never going to say Neil Diamond again on this show. Okay, just
you can,
know.
I don't care.
No, that's okay.
I got a monster show for you today. Of course, we do every Thursday here with the Curry and Claypo Show. You can also podcast. It's wherever you get your Tony Curry Radio podcast. Our podcast, we started this thing out as TKR and Tony Curry Radio. It's a radio station. It's great. It's going
mm-hmm.
super.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 13, 14 different shows that run from 9 o'clock in the morning with Students of the Game all the way through at night with Damon Johnson's show. And so it's fantastic. But then if you want to go back and listen to previous episodes on demand, which is what everyone wants to do, you go to Tony Curry Radio Podcast. That's Curry with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to all of our shows. We're on every major industry, including Spotify, which is where all of our musically elemented shows are. Livewire Wednesday last night, brought to you by Sun and Precision Staffing. Huge show last night. Austin Hanks, The Damon Johnson Show, Win in Rome with Stuart Rome, The Woodhouse Baseball, they're all on Spotify. So if there's music, and we're the only radio station, as far as I know, that are doing... like rockumentaries like that.
Yeah.
Where we're actually doing a show, but we're also playing music.
You're right.
In the middle. So it's super cool.
That's wonderful.
We'll be on Fox 6 a little bit later on this morning. We'll be talking about cheating, and we'll talk about that this morning. I know, I love this story. There is a, this came by the big Lake Erie Walleye fishing tournament a couple weeks ago where they found these two guys who had won multiple tournaments in the past. They were taking home like $29,000 in prizes and cash, and they realized that they had like five walleye. And the average walleye weighs somewhere between 4 and 5 pounds, and their walleye were weighing like 6 or 7 pounds. And so they won by like 12 pounds. They didn't really need to use the weight to get that much. And so they cut them open and found these big lead weights. And man, it was mob mentality. People were going to kill these dudes. There was a chess match last week. Did you hear the story?
Uh-uh. But I saw your headline.
There was a chess.
How can you cheat? What was it, like throwing signals?
No. No, I'll tell you. I want to make sure that I read this because I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah, now it's chess.
During a match last week, Grandmaster Hans Niemann was asked to have his tuchus checked for foreign objects after it was alleged that his September upset of Magnus Carlsen may have been the result of a backdoor dealing. They accused Niemann of tapping into a remote computer via the vibrating sex toy during the match. Niemann admitted to cheating as a child, but denied the most recent charges. He had something hidden up his backside that he was getting signals from someone outside the ring on what moves to make on the chessboard.
So, like, yeah. when it jiggled or vibrated, then he
well,
moved pawns to six?
Get...
I mean, like, is that what you mean?
Checkmate.
Is that seriously, like, what it was?
Yeah.
So it's, like, signals up his ass?
Yeah, so we got the
wow, players. That, like...
That's pretty original, isn't it? It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to cheat, like, that's some creative...
I've seen cheating in cards. I've been part of cheating
in
cards.
Yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
cheated, but I've seen people do it.
That's fine.
Again, the Houston Astros are in the playoffs right now. They had a walk-off the other night.
Yeah.
Tap in the garbage can. Deflategate. I mean,
yeah,
Spygate.
Yeah.
We can go
but have
on
you ever
on
seen
on.
Something up your behind that vibrates?
Well, you have to think on a chess match. That's
well, like, I don't know what else
do.
You could, like...
How else are you...
But gonna... also, what do they do? So, he's got a computer? Like, what are you cheating?
If
you're a chess master,
yeah,
right, you're a master.
Evidently, it was a big upset, and no one thought this guy could win.
Ah.
And so he was getting some help from somebody, you know, buzzing, going, I don't know, if you practice those kind of things.
Yeah, I remember the game getting warmer,
Yeah.
So he puts his hand on the pawns. No, okay, move on. That's terrible.
Also today, we'll get into cheating on Fox 6 at 9:35 this morning. We got some birthdays to get into. There is a brand new Barney documentary coming out on Paramount Plus. Have you heard about this? It's called I Love You, You Hate Me. In 1988, this housewife, who had a rambunctious 2-year-old son, decided to make a low-budget dinosaur type of show for her son to watch. He loved it. Well, after, of course, the show absolutely blew up, and much to the chagrin of many parents who absolutely hate that show.
Yeah.
And you had burning dinosaur.
Well, he's like the Antichrist, isn't he? Or something? Or
yeah, so the documentary goes through, first of all, it broke up her marriage. Then the husband committed suicide. Then the 2-year-old, who at the time was roughly 20, shot his next-door neighbor in the chest and went to prison. And now we're finding out that David Joyner, who actually played Barney the Dinosaur in the TV show for the last 10 years, is a tantric sex dancer. They're also saying that he used to hide drugs in Barney's tail and during outtakes would go in the back, do drugs, and come back out and be his goofy self. And you would never know if Barney the Dinosaur was actually imbibing or doing something he shouldn't because he was just goofy and he didn't use his real voice. They used the voice for him, so he just walked around. All you had to do was walk around all day for 6 or 7 hours. So a great documentary going on. And also today...
That's so bad.
...is Sammy Hagar's birthday.
I saw it. Yes, you posted.
Sammy Hagar, I've loved me some Sammy Hagar. I mentioned when I was like 18, 19, you could be 18 or 19 and drink. That's what the drinking age was back in my day.
Yeah.
And I remember for some reason I didn't drink at this particular concert. And it was at, I think, Dayton Flyer Arena. And I was like 18 or 19. And I threw my guts up after the concert because I was rocking so hard during the show. I was on the front row. I was just wailing my head.
And sober.
And
no, no drinking.
Did not one drink. And just got, and I'll never forget.
Just overexcited yourself.
It's the only time I ever thrown up, you know, just because I was so
excited. Like adrenaline, yeah.
It was crazy. I remember it was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And then I got home and threw my guts. My dad said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm fine." He's like, "Are you drunk?" I said, "No, I didn't drink tonight."
And he's like, "You did." I'm like,
"No." I said, I mean, that's how good it was. And then after I left high school, Lakota High School, and I tagged them this morning, class of 1984, they asked me to start playing senior dances and proms because I had my own sound equipment. And I remember playing There's Only One Way to Rock. The first song I played, my friends were like, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, "Dude, it's Sammy Hagar." And they're like, "It's the dance party." And I'm like, "We're going to rock, man." I think I played the first full side of Standing Hampton. I was like, "Isn't this great?" And they're like, "No, we want to dance. We want to dance to some disco. Where's some Earth, Wind, and Fire?" I'm like, "This is awesome." And I was out there doing air guitar on the floor. It was great. I was a dweeb.
Did you do bar mitzvahs?
No.
Okay.
I did weddings. I don't think I did a bar mitzvah. I did a funeral once. I did my brother and sister's wedding.
With Sam Hagar?
No, not always. Okay. Sam Hagar, but I just remember playing that song. It was one of the first gigs I ever did. And I love me some Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar to me is what TKR is all about. I know you love AC/DC and that's your band, but like, you can't listen to a Sammy Hagar song for the most part. Even if you don't know the song, you don't like the lyrics, it's just whatever.
Yep.
He's like just right. Not too hard. Not too soft. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect port. Like, it just, it sounds great.
Yeah.
It just sounds great. It's toe tapping. You kind of do this with your head. It's not over the top with guitars or whatever. It's just.
Well, Sam.
And he's cool. It's just.
What I love about Sammy is he's always a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
The lyrics he writes. That's true. He's a little boy.
Well, and 20's good, but a somewhat insightful 20, right?
Yeah,
not clueless.
He's a great lyricist. I mean, the thing about Van Halen was when David Lee Roth was in there, they were writing songs that had somewhat of a story element to them, like BOA, Running with the Devil.
Yeah, but
they had some different. And Sammy was all about when it's love.
Right, you know, exactly.
Why can't this be love? There was a lot of love stuff in there. But obviously, they were much more successful with him at the helm than they were with Van Halen and David Lee Roth. It was two totally different bands. But yeah, it was just, you know, but then like finish what you started the video. The dude was 60 years old, he's making that video. He's hanging out with a bunch of 19-year-old girls in bikinis doing a video.
Say how old he is.
It's 75 years old.
See, I told
75
you.
75 years old.
When you said, this is the fascinating psychological experiment to me. You say, "Happy birthday, Sammy Hagar." You just say that, and everybody's like, "Yeah, he's great, and it's amazing, the music, whatever." And you put that aside, and you go, 75 years old. Just 75 years old, and you're like, it's kind of getting up there in age. And then you put the two together.
It's
it doesn't work. Like, that's what I'm having a hard time with. 75-year-old, happy birthday, wonderful.
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar, happy birthday, wonderful. Sammy Hagar, 75?
65, yeah. 75, yeah. No. I totally agree with you.
Where's Mick Jagger? Is he 80?
He's 77, 77, 80.
That just is... But you know what? One thing we gotta say, we talked about this a little bit with Damon Johnson. At 70-ish, mm-hmm. and you're doing concerts of any kind, and you don't need to be running around jumping.
Yeah.
You're just performing in front of thousands of people. The amount, I mean, you have to be. I had a text exchange with Damon Johnson about, he'd just come off the Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, he's coming back to do back-to-back shows with Brother Kane, mm-hmm. and he's like, you know, I have to rest.
Yeah.
I have to hydrate. You know, and as much as there's a rocker's sort of facade, that's crap. You can't, your body can't do it at 75. And, you know, back in the day, we didn't see 75-year-old rockers.
No, we never did.
They just were dead.
They didn't exist. Well,
they retired.
They were crooners.
Yes.
It was Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Right. Guys,
and those guys weren't touring.
You're right.
So Frank Sinatra at 75, I think you might, but even those old guys.
Yeah.
The Bobby Vintons, they weren't touring because they were 75 years old. These guys, and you have to think that, you know, I mean, Ozzy Osbourne, 73.
He doesn't count. He doesn't count. You always throw Ozzy in there and he doesn't count because he's great, but he's like, I don't even think he's alive.
He's just formaldehyde.
I don't think he's alive. But the rest of them, like, it is truly a physical phenomenon. It really is.
Well, when David Lee Roth, who just had a birthday earlier this week, came out, and I think David, what is David, 69, 70, something like that?
Yeah.
He came out and was like, you know, I can't do it anymore or else I'm going to die. I'm like, you big wuss.
Yeah, brother. I mean, look at everybody else.
You're only 68 years old. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But, I mean, he beat his body up.
Yes.
Sammy jumped around, but not like David did. But, yeah, and I even, he follows me on my Twitter account.
Of course he does.
Radio. Sammy does. And I tagged him this morning.
Did you call him this morning?
No, I did not. I wish I had his number. But I'm like, please do not stop playing. Please, just, and I put bucket list, one more time, baby. I got to see you live one more time. I don't know if he's still doing his thing out in Las Vegas or not, but that's what they do. I mean, so rather than hitting the road and doing all the travel and stuff, they just it's a retirement home.
It's great.
Yeah. So I, you know, but you look at pictures of him, and he looks like he don't look like he's 75.
He didn't look like he's 50.
But he's all over social media. And he's got his tequila business. He's just killing it.
He's got his little. Have you seen his little dogs?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him. Also today, Marie Osmond has a birthday.
She has had too much work done, but I loved her. Every girl was in crush.
Now she still looks pretty good on those Nutrisystem commercials.
Well, it's because she's had a lot.
She's only 63. I thought for sure she was like in her mid 70s. She's young. 63
young. Yeah. The Osmonds are very, she doesn't work, but they're all very milk, wholesome.
Yeah, when you're 2 years away from what the average life expectancy is in this country, which is 77 years old for a man, women are 81, and you're still doing what Sammy Hagar is doing, it's flipping amazing. Jerry Jones turns 80 today, and Paul Simon has a birthday today.
He's got to be pushing 80,
no? He's 81. Today is also Metastatic Breast Cancer Awareness Day.
Yes, it is.
Today is World English Language Day.
Meaning,
I was going to quote that.
Meaning, you're going to say in Spanish?
This is the day we celebrate the English language.
Yes.
It is the most spoken language in the entire United States and, of course, the world.
That's of course.
Mandarin Chinese is a close second.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The English language is more widespread. Mandarin language is obviously a very native type of language, but there's a lot more Chinese people in a close proximity, and so it comes close. But I was going to put it's National English Language Day, just saying, on Twitter this morning. And just
then you would have liked.
And people are like, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
And happy heterosexual day, too.
Right.
For all those people that are in the...
Yeah.
today is National Chess Day. Which is perfect for a little cheating story.
Did you ever play chess?
No, I tried.
Like, I'm the same thing.
You know what I don't like about chess? is what? There's a perfect game.
Yeah.
Like, you can play a perfect game. Like, you can go look up in a book.
Yeah.
And know how to play the game. Like, in dominoes, you're getting different tiles each time. In checkers, you know, and again, you're playing against somebody, so I get that. But, I mean, there is, statistically speaking, if he makes this move, this is the right move to make for you.
Yeah.
And so it kind of takes I realize it's an enormous amount of skill. Don't get me wrong. But when you know what the right move is, I guess it goes for checkers too. it's like,
you're funny.
I don't know why we even play chess. Today is National Bowling Day.
Oh, we're both bowlers.
I had a good friend of mine, Lee Yarborough, who came over last night. He was here yesterday afternoon hanging lights up in my house. Yesterday was a long day.
Did you want Christmas lights or anything?
No.
Oh.
There's lights. Like I had to change up my lights here. And we used to be on a bowling team together out at Lightning Strikes, which is now Bolero, I think, out in Trust One. And, man, bowling league was... It's funny because my dad was always on a bowling league, and then I was on a bowling league. It was just what guys do. Today is also National No Bra Day.
Oh, okay. Which is interesting. That goes with metastatic breast cancer. Okay.
I don't think they have anything to do with each other.
No, they don't. I mean, that's just... I thought.
But I don't know how you celebrate that. Do you celebrate? Do women...
I don't have a bra.
And today is World Egg Day. There's an interesting story.
We're not going to talk Alex Jones. I was just curious.
We
don't have to.
No.
I was just wondering. Like, I'm surprised you haven't brought it up. It's okay. You don't have to pivot. Don't pivot. Go, go, go.
No, you know, it really saddens me. It makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched him. He was doing a show, a live stream. Didn't show up in court. He got hit for $960 million, which, of course, he's not going to have to pay because he has no money. He said he's got like $2 million, but his estate's worth something. I don't know what it is. He's just such a piece of crap. Yeah. I don't know. And it's like, and, you know, if you listen to his show as kind of a joke because it's entertaining, I get it.
Yeah.
But if you're one of these people that really believes what he's saying, even a little bit, is true, then you got issues, man. You got some serious problems. The fact that here's the thing, and this is what our society is, we just backtalk. He said it was the whole school shooting thing, in case for people don't know, and you didn't see the story, I don't know where you've been. The Sandy Hook shooting, and 26 people died, and a bunch of kids died, and their families were in court. He comes out and says it was a fake, and he came out like 3 hours after it actually started happening. And these poor families had their kids' graves desecrated. People were urinating.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the mothers of these kids that died were assaulted. Yep. They were being told they were going to be raped. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This guy, because when I first saw this, I thought, this is free speech. How are they going to get this guy? Well, he instigated. I mean, he pushed these people, his followers, to do these horrible things. It was really, really terrible. It just makes me really, really sad. And then he came out in court and said, it absolutely happened. And so as a listener who is all in on this guy, and then to find out that he was full of crap the whole time and hoodwinked me, I'm kind of like, okay.
Well, he played that,
and then he came out again yesterday and said it's all fake again. And I'm like, I cannot believe that human beings are so stupid. We're so insecure. That's where we've lost spirit in this country. We have no spirituality left in this country because we're all just following. We all want to be part of something bigger, whatever it is.
The whole sheeple thing.
It is. And it's like, and to hear him say that, and this is the first of many. He's got another one in Texas. He's going to be going through something. He's done, but he's not done. And now he's living off this new thing, and people are following him.
He's got a GoFundMe. GoFundMe.
I mean, he's not going to be hurting for cash. He already filed for bankruptcy. And I'm like, the guy's going to be living high in the hog for the rest of his life, just spewing lies and hatred. And I hate it. I think it's the pure devil coming out in an individual. It really is.
You know,
since you asked.
Well, I'm called, you know, I always get.
And he looks like a piece of shit. I mean, he does. You look at Alex Jones, you're like, you're such a, I mean, if I saw the guy and he was a minister, I'd go, you're a piece of shit. I mean, he just looks like a. Just not a nice man. Just the way he carries himself. He's frumpy. He's just with a beard. I'm like,
oh, yeah. There's so much insecurity there. It's incredible. I think the thing that's interesting, really interesting, and we're going to talk, obviously we'll talk about cheating, not lying. You know, there's enough, he did it with enough nuance. There wasn't much, but there's enough nuance, right? Is it possible? All you have to say is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes. And then when this thing comes out, he goes, you know, we thought at the time it was possible. Now I understand that it's real. Right? And then as soon as it's over, you never know what could be real, what could be possible. I mean, like, you only have to say those words, and in a in a world where you've got millions of people hanging on to that, mm-hmm. all it takes is a small percentage of them to then go run with that.
No.
And that's all that it does. And I think the thing that's really scary to me about whether it's Alex Jones or whatever, and I mean, I always get tagged as like an elitist or whatever, but we've lost our ability, or we have not taught well enough in this kind of information age to critically think. Now, people will say, oh, of course I could. No. Critically thinking is sifting through information mm-hmm. from multiple sources, from sources that you agree with and you don't agree with, from adding that information up, from looking for primary sources of information, for checking where the references are. I mean, like, that's how you are supposed to filter information. That's critical thinking. A, we don't do that. B, we live in a world where it's incredibly hard to do that. When we grew up, you didn't have a choice. You had a newspaper and a library and a thing. And so if you didn't believe something, you really did have to do some digging. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about that. Well, I'll flip over here. Well, depending on what social media platform you're on, you're getting fed information that's consistent with it. So we have to teach people how to critically think. We saw this with the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a thing where people were just hammering on scientists. Oh, you changed your mind.
Yeah.
Of course.
And don't get me wrong. I'm all about debating. I'm all
yes,
about doubt.
Yes, that's fine. You know, yes.
I think we're in a better place that there is more information and it gives us the opportunity to go.
Agree with
this
you.
Goes for politicians. We're going to
absolutely.
You know, I want to doubt things. I want to hear the other side.
But that's critical thinking.
Yeah.
But we don't do. Well,
let me decide. The thing about conspiracies is this: the longer the conspiracy goes, the more plausible it seems for the average human being,
right,
because it's been out there, and because things
yes.
that aren't true just go away.
Right.
And when
That's
something is
point.
Continually out there, we still have people that believe that we flew a jet airplane into our own Pentagon
yeah.
on 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll we didn't land on the moon. I'll listen to your story. I'll listen to a story, and my son, who I think is joking, and he knows it drives me crazy, doesn't think we landed on the moon. And he's a super smart kid. And I think he's playing with me.
He is.
But we had Maddox Mullinax.
Yeah.
Now,
Maddox is a little different.
Who's worked with NASA, who has gone to Huntsville and worked with aerospace, nautic, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, let me ask you a question. He said, do you believe that the rockets that were on the capsule that went to the, do you think those are real? He's like, well, sure. I saw them. And he goes, okay. And he goes, how many people do you think it took to build those rockets? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, it was about 120,000 individuals that had to work on these four giant booster mm-hmm. rockets in order to get whatever it was that went to the moon. And it took them years. And he said, so you're telling me that you think that 120,000 people that actually worked on something to get us to the moon isn't real? He's like, no, I think it's real. I just don't think we landed on it. He's like, then why in the world would we have spent all those man hours and that many people are involved? You can't have that many people in on a hoodwink, on a lie. You just can't.
Maybe.
It's impossible. Yeah, you can't do it on a basketball team. Someone's going to throw you under the bus. Someone's going to know you're on the take. So there's different ways to look at it. But
you mean my moon rock is not really a moon rock?
Yeah, when thing? Someone ever says something like, you know.
Well, the Sandy Hook thing was so, I know even for me.
We were there, we saw
yeah,
it.
I was like, actors? Like it blew my mind.
What's the kid that does Birds Don't Fly? What is that whole kid that's got the whole bird thing?
Oh,
bird
that's right, yep. I know.
But it's a joke. But, I mean, you actually, people thinking, oh, you may have something there.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I'm all about thinking outside the box and thinking this is kind of funny. And
right.
Well, explain to me why you don't think this is possible.
Right.
And I may go,
But we are that impressionable. This is why marketing works.
Yeah.
This is why shows like Alex Jones work. Like, if you think about it, if we were not as impressionable, if we truly were critical thinkers, hell, if we were, you know, AI-based robots that were taking in the information, none of this stuff would work. Because it wouldn't add up. What we would do is we would come to a probability that it's true or not. Like it's a 0.00000 probability it's true, so we would disregard it.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. We watch all this stuff. I mean, hell, I was just watching. We do this with weather forecasting.
Yeah.
We do it. Not the meteorologist. What do? I do this all the time. Oh, it's going to rain. Let me flip to another one. No, look, it's not going to rain. It's going to be cold. No, it's not going to be. See, it's not going to be cold. I have debates with my family about this.
Yeah.
They're on three different apps. One kid says it's going to be cold. Another kid says it's cold. And what we don't do, we've lost our ability because it's easy. It's easy not to have to think because the information just comes.
Yeah.
It just goes, it tells me what I want to say, what I want to hear.
And again, if you're talking about, you know, grass isn't really green.
Okay, fine.
You want to make an argument, it's fine. But when you're talking about kids and their lives and their families and this creep has gone after them, it just makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. And for people that would follow that crap, I'm sorry.
They're giving him money.
Yeah.
And the people giving him money on GoFundMe don't have his kind of money.
Please don't stop your show. We'll fund you through. And he's sitting there playing the whole, I don't have any money, I can't do this anymore. If you want me to continue, then you're going to have to fuck it. And then people are doing it. It's crazy.
Okay.
An Alabama middle school teacher.
Do you feel better? I just had to say, I feel much better now.
No, I don't know even know what to say.
No,
I
mean,
I wish
good.
I had a super smart take on it. I wish I had something I could say I could slam him, but of course he's not going to hear it.
No.
But it's just, I mean, I you know what? I don't want to give the guy the attention. He's the streaker in an NFL game.
Right.
That's why the cameras don't go on. Don't give him the attention. Yep. I don't want to give
him
the attention.
I actually think he's going to have a heart attack or a stroke. You just look, he looks like he's about
What's amazing, though, is normally, you know, like, and I'll go back to back in the 70s and 80s when you and I were a little younger, we had cults. I don't know if there's a cult.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a cult out there somewhere.
Oh,
I just don't know about it. But it'd be a cult where, you know, the David Koresh thing, or there's been thousands of them, where they're starting this new...
Yes.
Utopia society where we love each other, we work together, we make our own food, love, not war, blah blah blah, and it all sounds it's pretty good, you know, pretty good mission statement there for your cult. It's not called
mission
a cult,
statement.
And it's one dude, and the next thing you know, you're into it because you're part of something bigger. It's
yes.
a utopia type of thing, and they're really nice people, and you're telling you're part of this group. What? there's lots of groups down here in the South that churches are kind of like this a little bit.
I'm glad.
And it takes a long period of time.
Yep.
To gain your trust, to get you into the relationship, maybe a year or two, and next thing you know, this guy would like you to kiss him every time you come into the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a show of affection
kind of
and embracing.
I'm married, I have children.
It's okay, though.
He starts kissing. And then the next thing you know, he starts sleeping with people outside of his wife in this commune.
To spread love,
and it's, yes. And meanwhile, they're thinking back, well, you know, he did all these other wonderful things, and he took care of my mortgage, and took care of my mom, and he gave me this wonderful place to live, and I seem to be generally happy, and I'm finding my purpose in life, and blah, 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 blah. So if he wants me to sleep with him for sake of the goodness of all the community, and somehow we just...
Sounds like certain marriages.
You know, next thing you know, you got 35 people putting on a pair of kids and, you know, taking purple medicine and, you know, because there's going to be some asteroid going to hit the Earth and you're dead. I mean, it's just crazy that people... And these, you know, I've seen enough shows, you know, where they've talked to these people. And these people will come out and they'll go, I can't believe I fell for that. It's like they're literally brainwashed.
Yes.
They're I cannot believe. And then the husband or the wife's like, thank God you finally saw the light.
Yeah.
Like I thought I'd lost you. And then somehow they're like.
Because it's exactly what you said. There has to be, it follows the exact pattern that we use to hypnotize people. There has to be a connection. The way that this works psychologically is there has to be a grounding in your reality. So something that you believe is plausible and reasonable. That's where it has to start. If it started with, you know, start sleeping with him to begin with and then everything else will be fine, people would back off.
Yeah.
But it starts with a grounding in reality. We're going to live in a greater society where people take care of one another. And then the way we sort of hypnotize people, which is the same kind of way you brainwash, is now you move people from where their comfort zone is just outside of their comfort zone. That much.
And it has something to do with your spiritual growth. It's always...
There's a reason for it. It's not just out of your comfort zone.
We're going to go sit in a tent. And I saw another one. We're going to sit in the tent, 140 degrees.
Yes.
And you're going to have to find your inner strength to get through this. And then people end up dying in it. And it's like...
But to get to that point... we've got to give you a rationale that you believe in. It's like a conspiracy theory. Yeah. It has to be just enough. By the way, do you know if you play Black Sabbath records backwards?
Yes.
It's the devil.
Well, that's true, and the Beatles, too. The other thing is, and I always thought this, I always thought these were the people that were attracted to these, and mainly they are, but they're wanderers. They're looking for a bigger purpose. They're yes. lost. They're spiritually lost. They don't know who they are. It's not to say that they're addicts or anything else.
No, but no, they're questioning.
They want to be part of a bigger purpose. But that's not always true. There are people that are like investment bankers, yep. ministers, that get tied up in these groups and get brainwashed. You're kind of like, dude, do you? I mean, it just flies in the face of everything you say. So, you know, people that follow Alex Jones, I think, are probably in the same boat. What scares me is people that would... I watched part of his show only because it was on... Yeah. TV last night, and I saw like a 10-minute clip, and I just was like, yeah. he's such a blowhard. Right. The guy's an idiot. He's not smart. He's not. I mean, which is amazing to me, because we did a whole
thing. But we love that.
We did a whole thing with Michael Coleman that runs this week on Mission Minded. Runs at 10 o'clock every Monday through Friday on the TKR app. And we were talking about the imposter syndrome. We went the entire show on the imposter syndrome.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, a lot of people say, just get the job and then fake it till you make it. You know, get the job. And then you can figure out once you get there. And there's something good about that, because the best self-confidence is when you're willing to learn whatever it takes to get to where
that's
you need
right.
to be.
That's right.
You may be taking someone else's job that's much more qualified than you are, but just get the job and figure it out when you get there. You know, we talked about Donald Trump. We talked about the certain amount of narcissism that there must be in an individual.
Absolutely.
To feel like they can self. You know, who is the movie director? That young kid that came out about 5, 6, 7, probably 10 years ago, who was getting millions and millions and millions of dollars of investment money, was on the red carpet with all these top right, Tom Hanks, right. and no one knew who the hell this guy was.
That's not.
He was throwing these lavish parties in Beverly Hills. But he played the part, and you know, the whole act like you've been there before.
Yeah, that's.
You know, I used to go backstage at Oak Mountain Amphitheater, and pretty much everyone knew me there because I lived there for years when we were doing classic rock, and there'd be shows where I'd have backstage passes, and I just walk in.
Yeah.
Yes, Tony. It's got to be right. It's like the A&M kid. They had the great story about the A&M kid who found the VIP pass and ended up telling everyone that he was a kicker and he spoke broken English and ended up being in the winning locker room when A&M knocked off Alabama last year and got his picture taken with Jimbo Fisher and stuff. And because
that's not imposter syndrome. That's called manipulation lying.
Yeah.
But yes. I mean, listen. Imposter syndrome happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference, though, between feeling the imposter syndrome and then kind of working away in it,
mm-hmm.
and then doing what, like an Alex Jones is. And Alex Jones is a combination. Alex Jones is the narcissism, because the narcissism is really fueled by the insecurity.
Yep.
When we all have imposter syndrome, it's an insecurity, right? I shouldn't be here. They think, why do they all think that I should be here? I don't feel like I should be here. You bury that enough and flip it to narcissism, and narcissism is, I've never belonged, so it's almost like you're taking the opposite, and you go, I do belong. Not only do I belong in a way that's very different than anyone else, and you bury that insecurity.
Yeah.
The problem is that insecurity is always there, and so you're constantly compensating for it. The difference is with imposter syndrome, you kind of know you're compensating for it.
Yeah.
Narcissism, it takes over and you don't.
An Alabama middle school teacher who spends his free time, let me say this again, an Alabama middle school teacher.
Yes. This is not California, this is not San Francisco, not New York, go.
Near Huntsville at Mountain Gap Elementary School or Intermediate School. Anyway, spends his free time as the drag queen Miss Majesty Divine.
Mm-hmm.
Has been caught on camera making lewd innuendos during a family-friendly event.
Uh-oh.
Hard Knocks Rescue and Training, an animal rescue organization in Huntsville, Alabama, live streamed a September 24th Drag Queen Storytime event. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
Drag Queen Storytime.
Well, because that's a thing, that he does that.
In which James Miller read a story to a group of children.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher, who masquerades as Madge D. Vine in his spare time, was reading a story about a dog that hit its bone at the event. In the footage, which showed Miller reading from the book while two dogs play with their handler, he said, "Everybody loves a big bone."
Oops.
The handler and the person holding the camera were seen laughing after the comment. Page also queried whether it was appropriate for Miller to make the comments in front of a group of children. They didn't say anything. You know, the fact that a dude's dressed up as a drag queen in front of your kids, but they wondered, queried, whether he should have said that dogs love big bones to their kids. Miller, who works at Mountain Gap Middle School, has a Facebook page and a TikTok for his drag alter ego and has attended events such as Drag Queen Storytime. He also posted images of himself with other drag artists on his Facebook.
We're so messed up in this state. Like, I mean, I love this state. I've been here 25 years, but like, we won't allow like
how like, first of all, how in the hell does this guy still have his job?
But before this, I had heard about him, and this was a thing. He dressed up. He was a drag queen, and he would read stories, and it was appropriate and stuff. But in a state like ours, to accept that, and yet we can't, like, we won't accept yoga because yoga's the devil. But, like, this is okay.
We can't teach yoga, but
right.
We can have
Don't
a drag queen.
Right, the drag queen's okay. Don't be gay. Like, I mean, but yes, I do think it's interesting that...
We have school teachers losing their jobs because they're doing OnlyFans after hours.
Hell, we have... Listen...
But we have a guy who dresses up as a drag queen, and everyone knows it, and he's teaching at a middle school, and this is okay? I'm not one of these guys that's not accepting of whatever the hell you want to do. If you want to do drag queen stuff at midnight, whatever, you want to do whatever you want, and it doesn't have anything to do with your other job, but this does. He's reading to children in a school as a drag queen.
I don't have a problem with that, but then don't tell me I have a problem, like, you can't read these certain books. Right? We can't... The whole thing about reading certain books, we got to review every book... It's not funny. We're okay that you're dressing in drag,
and I don't know,
but don't read a book about
really,
bones.
And I'm assuming he's really a drag queen, correct?
Well, I mean, nobody...
I mean, this is not an act, because he's got a TikTok thing and he does drag queen
stuff.
Well,
I mean, yes, that is his... you're not a... I mean, it's not who you are, it's what you do. I mean, he's a teacher and he's also a drag queen. Those are two things that he does. Like, it's not Sasha Fierce. Well, I guess it kind of is. It's a little alternate. Right. I know.
Listen,
we can't support LGBTQ schools in our state, but like, this is okay?
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. First of all, this is a school function. If he wants to go read books at a park...
Oh, you don't want him to read books to kids.
No. He can do whatever the hell he wants down at Lynn Park or in his backyard. But in a school? No, this is not a school-sanctioned thing for me. I don't care if he's a drag queen or anything, or any straight guy, or any guy who's dressed normally in a suit talking about... Dogs love big bones. This is not,
oh, so the book,
this is not
like
right. This is wrong on every level
so
for me as
book,
a parent.
So you don't like the book? Like if it was...
If my 10-year-old daughter told me she went to Oak Mountain today and there was a drag queen in there reading her book about, every dog loves big bones, I would have an issue with that.
I'd
I'm
be like,
just telling
yeah,
you.
That's awesome. Look how far we've come in this state. Love it.
I know where you're coming from. I just need a second to
okay.
Look at
you're
this
from,
now. Hold
you're
on.
From Cincinnati.
Now tell me again what we're doing here.
Right, exactly.
So this guy's a school teacher, and everyone knows he's a school teacher, but we also, and he's supposed to be a great school teacher.
Yeah, he is.
And he's a drag queen, and that's fine. I'm just saying that we should have the two separated. I don't have a problem with a school teacher working on OnlyFans at night. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to go make extra money on the side, doing your own thing, and it has nothing to do with school, I don't have a problem with that. The problem is other parents see her, and it's because the husband's in her carpool going, oh, there's Miss Cheryl Lindsay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pull her. And the mothers get all angry because one of the school teachers is an OnlyFans and everyone can see her naked. I may have an issue with a teacher becoming OnlyFans if she's a high school teacher. Because at that point, you're sexually maturing, and there are kids that are going to be looking at that. And a lot of people say, well, it's up to her whether these... Because you know every 18-year-old in her class is looking at her differently because they're all pulling up her Instagram or Instagram models or her OnlyFans thing. So I may have a problem with that. Now, with small children, very impressionable, I would bet the most kids would look at him and think it's a costume.
That's exactly.
Now,
did you ever kids ever go to...
I used to go down to the Quest, years ago.
I was going to say.
No, so I get the whole drag queen thing. And
no,
I
was
going
to say children's theater, not the Quest.
Well, it was, yeah.
No, at children's theater, you have, in children's, right? I used to take my kids when they're little, at children's theater. men playing women, women playing men. They were in costume. The kids were 4, 5, 6 years old.
They were dressed up as a woman?
I did in high school. Or not high school, in junior high.
I don't know too many guys who have not tried at least
for Halloween.
I did.
The Halloween cheerleader thing.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was not very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable.
I remember when I was in high school, and I was dared to do it.
Well, of course.
And I remember asking my mom if I could borrow some of her high heels. And I remember thinking, my dad's not going to dig this.
Right.
And he was actually kind of like, son, if you think it's funny and you want to do it, then...
Well, he thought you were going to become a comedian or a priest.
Yeah.
He was okay because he thought you were going to become a priest. He didn't know.
Okay, so let's pick other jobs. Then it'd be okay to be a drag queen. Would it be okay for a priest to be a drag queen? The job. Is it okay for... Really?
Well, according to... No. Hang on.
No, it's not.
That's what I was going to back up.
Is it okay for a police officer?
Sure.
Yeah. Again, I just...
Now, on duty? No.
No, and that's where this is my biggest issue. Listen, if Mountain Gap School up in Huntsville is...
Well, it's a little more.
Well, we talk about...
There's more transplants. Yeah. Like
maybe he doesn't believe we landed on the moon either.
Maybe if
the school is okay with this...
Well, they obviously are.
Because everyone knows he's got a TikTok page. He's
this
wide
is
open.
Not, yeah.
Then that's on you. That's your school district. You do your thing. But then when he's bringing that alter ego or whatever it is, and crossing over into his other job. In other words, if I'm on OnlyFans and I'm a secretary at a place, I'm not coming in during lunch and doing my OnlyFans.
But he has been until this.
Yeah.
Until this book. Like, if you mind this book, he's been doing this, reading stories to kids in drag.
I just, wrong or right, I just can't believe that this is happening in our state, just because I know how our state is. I mean, you can't believe it either. I mean,
I'm blown away.
But
I'm not blown away. Listen, I'll say it.
We have a school here in town that is getting ridiculed because they spent millions of dollars of taxpayer money for an inclusionary situation where everyone in the LGBTQ, or just weird people or kids just don't feel comfortable in regular school. And they're getting killed. And this guy is a drag queen reading to children about dogs with big bones. I'm just like...
Well, he blew it with the big bones thing. So he went a little far.
Well, dogs do like big bones.
Small bones
will get caught in your throat.
They always tell you, don't give your dog a small, like chicken bones. Give them big bones.
And make sure they're not cooked, because when they cook, they get
cooked.
That's
right. Now that's your pet tip of the day from TKR.
You want to give them raw bones. I learned that on Dark Side of the Pooch.
What?
You want to give them raw bones. If that's why dogs can eat like deer bones and stuff like that, they find in the woods. You should never give your dog a bone. Because they can't splinter. Dogs should never get bones, unless they're the ones you buy in the store
that are
because
like,
they're calcified and stuff like that. But you don't ever want to give them bones like out of a stew or whatever, cook, because they get brittle and fall apart. They can choke them.
We cover it all here on.
I don't even know. Do people know Al Cooper? What's he saying? He said if he was reading Mrs. Doubtfire, it'd be okay.
There you go.
Now, that's a great story because that goes to show, and I've actually considered doing that, by the way, recently.
Don't you do that on WBRC.
Mrs. Doubtfire, that was the love of a father for his children. He loved them so much that he was willing to dress in drag in order to see his kids. I love that story.
Woo-hoo! No, don't do that. That's what I do.
So coming up here, we only got about 15 more minutes. Coming up here, 9:35 this morning on Fox 6, we're going to talk about cheating scandals and chess, poker, fishing, and more. We know about Deflategate, we know about Spygate, we know about the Houston Astros situation, the Boston Marathon, people cutting short races. You know, they're running 26-mile races.
I always do that.
They do that.
5Ks.
Yeah, I took a wrong turn, went behind a gas station and cut off 4 miles of my lawn.
Adam Levine.
at a different level, for sure. We talked about the Lake Erie Walleye Tournament, which we brought up last week, about these guys hiding lead weights inside their fish bellies, and they also had some other things terrible.
Terrible.
And now, of course, we're talking about this chess tournament where Hans or Hans Niemann allegedly had his backside checked for some type of vibrating sex toy during a match because they said it was helping him cheat in a match.
That's just so bad.
The poker world has been enveloped in a messy brouhaha after top poker player Garrett Aldestein accused fellow pro Robbie Jade Liu of being part of a cheating ring with three other participants through Lee denied the charges. He gave back $135,000 in winnings. He's like, I don't want to get into this. I'm just going to give my money back. And, of course, once he did that, a lot of people felt like he was guilty as hell. Apparently, the world of Irish dancing is not safe from disgrace, with several prestigious instructors accused of fixing competitions last week.
Oh, well, that's like, we get that in figures.
There was also, there was some beauty pageant last week.
Yep.
Where everyone voted for one particular girl, and they said it was all fixed.
Irish dancing, oh my God.
There was Miss Texas. The Miss USA contestants have showed the ugly side of beauty pageants, claiming the latest competition was blatantly rigged for winner Miss Texas. Most of Miss USA contestants feel very strongly that there was favoritism towards Miss Texas in this particular situation.
Why?
Perhaps this pervasive shiftiness had been bubbling under the surface all along, like the Scooby-Doo villain. They would have gotten away with it if not meddling forces of technology. Thanks to social media platforms, text messages, cameras at every hand, we can now only bust cheaters but broadcast their malfeasance for outside the relatively insulted. Yes.
Is that like Draymond Green punching a...
Yeah. cheating has been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
You've cheated in your life.
I've cheated. Never.
Yeah, I've never. I cheated on an exam once, and felt horrible about it.
Is this a confession? Like, are you? Do you want me to?
No, I'm just saying that we've all cheated.
We all cheat. Of
we're
course
all
we
broken,
cheat all the time.
And we've all. And you're like, I've never cheated. Yeah, you have. Yeah, yeah, in yeah. some aspect, you've pushed the envelope. Every college football coach, including Nick Saban, has cheated. We know that because there's secondary violations that come out every single year.
Of course.
We've all pushed the envelope. You can call it whatever you want. Cheating, pushing the envelope. Trying to get the advantage, finding the loophole. Taxes, oh my gosh. Really? Your mileage? Come on.
That was the scene, that's a great one. That's
crazy. Your mileage is double what it was last year, and you haven't driven all year. How's that possible? I mean, we've all done things to cut corners just a little bit to make things just a little easier for ourselves.
Yeah.
Whether it's a competition, whether it's your tax, whatever it is. And we've all done it. And it's
well, just, and we all try. Like, we all try. I mean, that's the whole... Right, if you think about the whole thing about sports, laws, sports and rules in sports, laws, part of the reason we have those is because we try to cheat, right? Even within the rules.
What do you mean we try to cheat?
Well,
we just try to find, we don't try to cheat, we try to find advantages.
Yeah, but again, right? Think about, to me, about sports. Sports is a great example. I'm going to try to get away with a flop. Right, I'm going to try to get away with holding holding your shirt.
I remember hurry-up offenses in college football.
Yeah,
that now it's just commonplace. But the Cincinnati Bengals actually started that in the NFL, where they were running and they were like, okay, well, the ball's on the ground, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
And the other teams were like, whoa, we're not used to that. What are you doing?
That's exactly. So now we put a rule in the place, and that's exactly one. And then once the rule's in place, then see, that's the whole thing, and this is us being us. When the rule's in place, if we don't violate the rule, but we walk up to the rule, then we're not cheating.
Yes.
But our intention is to get an advantage, and when the rule is nebulous or it's ill-defined, we will push past the rule.
Yeah.
And we immediately do it. Most of us do it on tiny things, and what we immediately tell ourselves is, it's not that bad. It's not really a big deal. I haven't hurt anybody, you know.
Yeah, it depends on what you're gaining from it and what you're taking away from it. In the walleye thing, you're taking $30,000 away from another team, and that's horrible. In Major League Baseball with the Houston Astros, you stole a World Series. We can go back to the 1919 Black Sox scandal when they threw the game. It depends on what you're doing.
Look at insider trading.
And in most cases, we always want to defend ourselves by saying, well, it didn't really offend
anybody. Insider trading.
Insider trading.
Hey, I didn't do anything.
The college football NIL situation.
Yeah.
Texas Tech recently came out. I had a great podcast with Mark Ingram called the UAB Director's Chair, which you can listen to on the Tony Carreira Radio podcast platform. Just pull up a Mark Ingram or Tony Carreira Radio podcast. It's a great interview for 25 minutes. And we were talking about NIL. And he said, it's such a joke. Because you can use your name, image, and likeness to gain financial money. Mm-hmm. Fine. Rule. Good. Texas Tech now is paying every one of its 85 scholarship players $25,000 a year, which is redeemable after each year. It runs about $2 million a year. So if you sign up and you get a scholarship at Texas Tech, you get $25,000 in cash.
But okay? what's the rationale? But like, where is it coming from?
And this is coming from a name, image, or likeness as a Texas Tech, knowing that half these kids aren't even going to take a snap, right? But it's bringing in recruits. Now, you can't pay someone to come to your college.
Nope.
In other words, I can't offer you $500,000 to be the next quarterback at Auburn or Alabama.
But if you're here...
And now they have these non-for-profit organizations.
Yeah, they're PACs. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, it's so stupid.
But you see, that is...
You have these non-for-profit organizations who can go out, collect money, and then dole it out to the players as NILs, and that's okay.
So is that cheating
But you
or
can't
not
pay a player to play.
But see, this is what, and this is what's
it's
interesting.
It's got to be based off name, image, or likeness. You can't pay a player to play, but you can pay him because he's got a certain look, and he can go sell Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards.
There's two levels of cheating. I wouldn't say there's two kinds of cheating. There is the am I breaking a rule that has been put into place, rule, law, etc. And then the second is, I'm not a lawyer, but what is my intention? Because you can say, like, this is a really good example. We're not breaking any laws. It's the loophole.
Yeah.
But what is your intention? If your intention is to gain an advantage, and it is one where you know that it's right up on the rule, now you got to do a whole lot of internal rationalization. This is not any different. Then we've talked about a million times how many times a day we lie. We lie constantly.
About 16 times a day.
Right. We lie constantly and we cheat constantly in order to, and I said this to you in this text message, in order to, on the one hand, we think about it as thriving, getting ahead. I would tell you that it's more primal, that it's to survive. I am going to do what it takes to get ahead of you, and I'm going to walk, ideally I'm going to walk within the rule, but if it comes right down to it, I'm going to go a little bit past the rule because now I have a better chance of surviving.
Mm-hmm.
This is Hunger Games.
Yeah.
This is exact. And we, because we're so hardwired to survive, will do almost anything. And when you come down to these like micro cheats, it's easy because we don't think of it as any big deal.
Once a cheater, always a cheater, yes or no?
Well, we're all cheaters. But big cheaters, doing huge things, you get away with it. Yes.
As long as you keep getting away with it.
As long as you, if you get busted super hard, Alex Jones is a great example.
Yeah.
You know, this is First Amendment, right? No, it's not. Defamation of character. So, but Alex Jones is going to make it this, we're going to see what Alex Jones is going to do with this huge consequence.
Yeah.
Alex Jones is going to keep moving forward. No, but in relationships, it's exactly the same thing. Well, I texted her. Nobody said anything. My wife's okay.
We got a great show going on at WorkPlay later on tonight with Tommy Williams, his entire crew. Go to WorkPlay.com. It's Skinny Tuba. They're playing all kinds of great New Orleans-style music. They're from New Orleans, so check that show out tonight. Also, October 29th, David Merlin, my good friend, of course, is a paranormal illusionist. We're going to be doing a Halloween night unlike any Halloween night you've ever seen. He's going to be doing an hour and a half of great illusions on stage at WorkPlay. You can be right there and watch
nice.
It. It's going to be fantastic. My good friend Elvira will be there. This Elvira kind of blows away the original Elvira.
How is the old? Is the original Elvira dead?
No,
but she's got to be.
She's up there.
Can I? This, I'm gonna. This, when this, we get off, I'm gonna.
This
do
is the new improved Elvira. She's fantastic.
Yep.
She's gonna be down there doing that. We're gonna have, I think, some live entertainment before the bar will be open. It's gonna be coming up on Saturday, October 29th. Tickets only $25. Go to WorkPlay and WorkPlay.com and check it out. And also, of course, want to thank all of our great folks, including Al Cooper, who watches the show religiously. I love him for being a big part of the show and partnering up. He reposts all of our stuff with CusaValleyAutoSale.com, CusaValleyAutoSale.com. Brad Porch, Al Cooper, and their entire crew, your wonderful work. If you're looking for a used car, go up there and check them out in Silicaga, CusaValleyAutoSale.com. Download the TKR app. Oh, we got a ton of new downloads last night for the AC. We tracked Black Ice from AC/DC, all four sides, 15 cuts last night. It was like an hour of AC/DC music. It was great last night. Thanks for Southern Precision Staffing for being our partnership with that, 205-682-2828. But you go to TKR on Android or Tony Curry Radio on Apple, Android, either one, TKR, and download the app. It's absolutely free. Great classic rock and roll shows all day long. Starts coming up in 10 minutes with Students of the Game. Three guys talking some college football. They'll talk about the Matt Rhule situation, the Brian Harsin situation. They're talking about the big Alabama-Tennessee game coming up. Should be a monster weekend. Ole Miss and Auburn, of course, and Charlotte's taking on UAB this weekend. So great stuff. And then go to wherever you get your podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Tony Carreira Radio Podcast, Curve the K. We have thousands of shows now that you can listen to. Everything from computer shows to pet shows to rock shows to blues shows to AC/DC shows. Mark Ingram's on there. It's great. So check it out. You'll find something on there that you'll absolutely love. Check out the Tony Curry Radio Podcast. We'll be on Fox 6 here in just about 40 minutes at 9:35 with Janice Rogers and Mike Dubberly. Saw Mickey Ferguson. He posted something kind of goofy on Instagram this morning. I liked it. He was doing something with a cup of coffee. I don't know. He's a knucklehead. He's a goofball. By the way, have you seen JP Dice at all? He's back. I haven't seen him one time on television.
Well, he's sort of...
I reached out to him, and he's being kind of quiet.
No, he's back, but he's, like, back... It's a more behind-the-scenes thing. He's more like a...
TV people like to be on TV.
No, but he's, like, an advisor. I mean, he's on, but he's, like, a senior
like
advisor.
Like, we had 4 inches of snow coming when J.P. Dice stepped in the front.
That's exactly.
Like, I got this, guys.
Well, I don't know. With Wes, like, that would be an interesting... That'd be interesting. But, no, but that's what he is. No, but he posts pictures all the time flying over Aruba for his other job.
Yeah. Got a good gig, man.
He's got a really good gig.
All right, thanks for watching podcast, this show, the Curry and Klempa show, Tony Curry Radio Show, and any of the shows we do here on the Tony Curry Radio, and have a wonderful Thursday.